8:45 on the clock. It's called to order the Board of Supervisors regular meeting at 8:45, April 16th, 2014. We stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The meeting act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation. Jurgens Hill, Dorn, Bauman, Lyver, Byers, Setzer.
That was 10-4.
Next is the consent agenda. The consent agenda consists of the general agenda. Approve committee meeting minutes and minutes of the meeting held April 2nd, 2014. Approve all claims through April 16th, 2014 in the amount of $839,898.57. Approve and place on file all correspondence received. Approve district court summary fee report for the register of deeds and the register of deeds report of fees for the month of March 2014. Approve specification of calling for bids on C-34980 Liberty Northwest Project. Bids to be opened May 14, 2014 at 9:30 a.m. Approve canceling check number 14040013 to Claritas in the amount of $2,087. Canceling check 14020012 to card member Visa in the amount of $5.06. Approve utility permit 990 Heath Rasmussen to trench electric line located in part of the northeast quarter of Section 31 and in part of the northwest quarter of Section 32, Township 5 North, Range 6 East, and Holt Township. Approve utility permit 991 to Great Plains Communications to plow and directional bore a fiber optic cable located in parts of Sections 35 and 36, Township 3 North, Range 6 East, and Riverside Township, in parts of Sections 1, 2, 11, 12, and 13, Township 2 North, Range 6 East, Sicily Township, and in parts of Section 7 and 18, Township 2 North, Range 7 East, Blue Springs, Wymore Township. Approved utility permit 992 to Tim Shealy to bore an irrigation pipe located in part of the southwest quarter of Section 13 and in part of the northwest quarter, Township 2 North, Range 5 East, and Elm Township. Receive and place on file the Beatrice Fire and Rescue Annual Report for 2013. Those are items 1 through 11 on the consent agenda. I need a motion to approve all of them or consider something separate.
So moved.
Moved by Lyle to approve.
Second.
Seconded by Setzer. Discussion?
Just make a quick comment. We had a $300,000 transfer to the insurance fund in the claims. That's part of why it was so big. So needed money in the insurance account.
Any more discussion?
Yeah.
Comments? Yes.
I just also like to say on item number 7, I believe what you read into the record was canceling a check for $5.06, and it's $5.60.
Sorry, yes, corrected. $5.60. Thank you. All right, any more
54
discussion?
Cents difference.
That makes a big difference on that $800,000.
All right. Seeing no more further discussion, we have a motion to second. Vote 7-0 to approve. Next will be comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. You're here for something. Seeing nobody right now, if something comes back, and of course I see Jenny, would you like to... Just a passive observer today? Okay. If somebody comes in later, obviously we'll go back if someone would like to comment on. Let's jump right into committee reports, building and grounds, and winter lights.
Nothing new.
Equalization.
Nothing new.
Finance and insurance.
Yeah, a couple things that we're going to talk about later on here, the statewide radio system and financing that. We did, though, head on here a couple weeks ago, pull the extension contract we have with university. Looked over that, visited a couple times with Paul already. And we'll probably, as a finance committee, try to see when we get a hold of him and do that. It was that report was dated January 1st, 1998. I mean, just renewable every year. There's a few things in there that I guess we need to update more than anything because it said we'd pay them $42,000 a year in four equal payments and stuff. So we're past that with our budget and stuff. We just need to update it some and everything. So
we really need to provide notice because it just continues. It's just a rolling contract, if you will. And so my suggestion was let's just provide notice that we want to redo the contract. And if nothing else, it's been 17 years almost. We probably should get in and look at it together. And we started that a couple years ago.
I was going to say, I thought we did that once.
How'd that fall off the radar?
The last contract we have is dated January 1st of 1998. It was signed. So probably should, more than anything, I like to explain to Paul more than anything. It's just an update going through there and making sure what we're doing or what maybe some things that aren't getting done that, if we're not doing them, then we'll take them out of the contract or visit about it at least and stuff. So we'll keep working on that. Then there was a question on one of the claims. There was a bill for taking all the equipment out of the old cars. So John had a question or somebody did. What do we do with all that old equipment? Anything we visited with Gus, anything, the radios and anything that can be used will be kept and reused. But some of the stuff, the hardware, he called it, for mounting things, that's individual to each car sometimes, he said, and stuff. Some of it's down at the county highway department in the junk bin and stuff. Some of it is. But they do save and reuse everything they can because it was surprising. It was over $900 to remove the stuff. Yeah. So then there was one other thing. There was from a company that they get stuff for the commissary, well, not commissary, just stuff, I guess, for the law enforcement in general. There's a company that there are some bills that have come in that are way back to last year in 2013, the middle of the year. John and I went over and visited with Gus, and then Tony brought Tony up, and Tony was unaware of how they were sending the bills out. They weren't mailing them. They were emailing them to him, and he didn't realize what was all going on, and he was not keeping those and paying those. And finally, the company and him finally got together. And so in this last time and this next time coming forward, there are some claims from a Bob Barker company that they've been getting supplies, not just for the commissary, but for jail supplies in general. So that hopefully is straightened out.
Human Resource, Employee Relations.
Everybody should have in your packet a signed signature page from that we all signed for the handbook approving the that all the elected officials, including ourselves, have signed, and also a corrected page 35 on the holidays. Somebody noticed that it had October instead of September for Labor Day. I think Myron was the...
That's Terry.
Was it Terry?
Yeah.
Somebody was the observant person there. So you should have those in your packet.
Law enforcement and emergency management.
Well, unfortunately, all I have to report is that we're continuing to consider communications, and that's dominating everything emergency management and the sheriff's department's doing. So... later we'll have communications discussion, and that'll cover it. So,
should make note our emergency management vehicle has been broken down. The battery doesn't work, and so it's been down and down and down. But
I guess the one other thing I should mention is that we have received 18 applications for the emergency manager's position, and we are cutting those down or deciding who we're going to interview, and we will start that process here very shortly. That's, I guess, the other thing that we should be discussing. So,
Road and Bridge.
Yes, Matt. At our last meeting, committee meeting discussion, it was on the consent agenda for the 2014 Culverts Liberty Wymore Road. We will advertise for bids and open on 5/28/14. These are the three large last projects on that road that John's been asking about for the last 2 months. Galen's hired part-time flaggers and we'll hire another one after May 9th for the work we have coming up. Galen was called concerning a speed study, and I think we'll discuss that later on in the meeting, too, at Holmesville, with some concerns about high rate of speed at Holmesville. Started asphalt patching on all the roads that we're going to do. What is it, Myron? The overlays.
Oh, armor coating.
Armor coating projects.
Those, yeah.
Yeah. And Galen has been working on a plan. Maybe I would rather have Galen come up and address this on the signs through the federal project or Deb, either one. They're more familiar with this project. It's something that we're going to share. It's federally funded as far as signs for bridges and things. Galen knows more about that for sure than I do.
The State Road Committee had come up with a program in December 2012, and they sent a letter out to all the counties in Nebraska asking if they wanted to participate in their hazardous markers for bridges and culverts. And it'd be funded by the federal program. They asked the counties to turn in how many. There's two different types of signs, and then also the posts that they would go on. They're a flexible marker, object markers, what they're called. And they asked the counties to turn in the quantity that they would ask for if this program was put into force. Approximately a month ago, we got an email stating that they are ready to go with this program. And our sign techs went out and got a quantity count and also marked on the maps the location for all these hazard markers for these bridges and culverts. And this material will be sent back into LTAP. And then it'll probably take another 6 months to a year before it all comes about. But the only cost to the counties will be the labor to put them up, and then of course you got to maintain them after that.
And these are those high intensity signs like we purchased in the past couple months ago, and they're quite costly. So this is a federally funded project. They're mainly around in bridges. On either side of the bridges and culverts in Gage County. And there's a large amount. What was the amount, Galen?
Oh, gosh, there's like 2,200 of them, I believe.
Yeah, a large amount of them.
All together.
So I think it's a good thing. I mean, a lot of those that are on, if you pay attention, a lot of those on these bridges now are, you know, in need of replacement or repair. So it's a good project. I'm glad it's getting done. So.
And these are the flexible ones, the ones that we have. Most of them are rigid, on a rigid post. And this is a new program to come out on for narrower bridges and stuff where the rigid ones get tore down, you know, by white equipment and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's something they're going to try with a new flexible style. So hopefully this will help it so we don't have to replace so many of them that's been torn down. So, but that's the program that's out there.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Galen's also taking samples. We've been delivering gravel, you know, for the last month to the townships and county and are trying to finish up last year's township allocations. And Galen's taken a sample and sent them to Manili's office. And he said that and he'll go through these with us a little more detail when he's down, but he said that they all passed. And there was some variations, and the variations in most cases was that the quantities were a little larger than they should be, which in my estimation is a good thing, you know. On a certain grade, there's a few of the samples with a little larger material in there than what should be. Like I say, to me, that's a good thing. So all the gravel samples passed. I think that's about it. Anything else, guys? Okay.
Well, I'll just make a comment on that Liberty one that we're hoping to get those in and so they can get work on them before that gets overlaid, that Liberty Wymore, those culverts, and that's why they're getting bid here when they are yet and stuff. But they trying to get those other seven done that we did last year or whatever, because I know they're working on the Philly one here this past week. They've been working on that, and hopefully that one will get done too pretty soon. But we got more culverts to lay yet before we do the overlay. That's the goal.
Questions for Terry? Quizzes? Criticisms? Okay. Next, I need a motion to approve or disapprove a Visitor's Improvement Fund grant request from Community Players for the purchase of a wireless mic and soundboard system in the amount of $5,000. I need a motion to approve or disapprove.
I'd move to approve.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Lyle. Discussion. Please.
I haven't seen Jamie with a tie on for a long time, so I'm very impressed.
You've been to a show before.
I got hands.
Good morning. Angie Bruno, Director of Page County Tourism. And I did bring Jamie with me today since Community Players is the one who did the request with the Visitor Improvement Fund for $5,000. They are looking to buy 8 wireless mics and a soundboard to go with it to assist with their musical performances. It would enhance their shows so that they can mic their actors so that the audience can get a better show experience while they're here. I do have some information to hand out. Okay. There's a copy of the grant application and then a current balance of what is in the Visitor Improvement Fund as of my quarterly report in February. At February 28th, it was $97,000 plus in the account, and then we've also gotten another payment since then. So we're over $100,000 in the Visitor Improvement Fund. We haven't funded anything in 2014, and the last that we had funded was last June from that account. So I feel that this is a worthy cause. Community Players has a broad reach. In their application, number 22, it's on page 2 and 3, it says approximately 200 people volunteer at Community Players every year. Many of them travel more than 30 miles to participate in the theater's events. That's just the volunteer side. Audiences come to the productions from 35 different communities. 27% of those come from outside of Gage County, so they do have a draw. They have, under number 21, it shows economic impact. The audiences make 58% make an additional purchase in Beatrice in conjunction with seeing their show, spending an average of $28 per person. And if a show is sold out for a 2-week run, that's over $19,000 of spending in our community that wouldn't have happened otherwise if they hadn't come to the show. So those numbers are good and wonderful for our economic development. And anytime you can have anybody come and spend money from outside the community, that's great and helps our tax base. Do you have any, with this being my first time presenting, I guess, what questions do you have for me? Can I invite Jamie up to come talk about the project?
Well, the time frame on this is specifically to get the equipment purchased in time for our upcoming production, Les Miserables, which will open at the end of May. And we actually had read-through of that last night. The cast sounded amazing. And this will greatly enhance the quality of not only that production, but all of our productions going forward. It replaces a soundboard that is over 14 years old. And as musical theater becomes more and more challenging, so do audiences' expectations also continue to grow. And so the microphones are particularly necessary because composers now write a song expecting that every actor is going to be wearing a microphone. It's not like the old days of Rodgers and Hammerstein expecting Ethel Merman to belt it to the back of the house. So, any questions?
I'd better arrange my calendar so I make sure I'm in town at the end of May for Les Miserables.
Well, you have 3 weeks to catch that show.
Okay, all right. I will say, those of you who haven't had the opportunity to go, you talk about people coming to visit. When you go to one of the productions and you just walk around and you see the people you've never seen before in your life, and they come in from Lincoln, from Omaha, from Kansas, and they come in to really experience the theater. And I wanted to compliment you, and it really is good for our community.
And while this doesn't necessarily impact the grant, I will also mention that the theater is currently putting together a display that's going to be going in the Carnegie Building. I may be hauling some stuff over there this afternoon that highlights the efforts of the community in putting on the arts in the community. And so it's going to be production pictures, costumes, and stuff like that. And that display will be open probably next week or the week after in the Carnegie Building.
Any more questions or comments?
Good.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, vote. 7-0. To approve.
Thank you very much.
Received recommendation from the Highway Department on a possible road closing on a portion of the public road running east and west, beginning in the intersection of West Olive Road and Southwest 32nd Road, going west a half a mile in Section 17, Township 2 North, Range 6 East, and Sicily Township. So, Galen, you want to... please.
Yes, my report back to the Board of Supervisors. You don't want me to read the whole report. It just, yeah, to be my, based on the statements that presented to the board, I hereby recommend that the east half mile of this road be closed, and the Gage County can proceed with the road's closures public hearing and set the time and date for said public hearing accordingly.
Comments, Terry, at all?
This is a project that has started quite a long time ago, probably a year ago or maybe longer, Galen, that they first approached us about this closing of this road. And the township officials all agree, and they've got all the signatures from the area people around, and so it's just a matter of finishing up and closing the road. So
everything's in order. We're just going to proceed. Questions for Galen? Nope. Okay. Thank you. So next, we need to approve or disapprove a resolution fixing the time, date, and place for the public hearing on a portion of public road running east and west, beginning at the intersection or closing on a public hearing to discuss the closing of the portion of the public road running east and west, beginning at the intersection of Olive Lane Road and Southwest 32nd Road, going east 1/2 mile in the section of 17, Township 2 North, Range 6 East of Gage County. I need a motion to approve or disapprove setting a public hearing date. 14-09.
I make a motion to approve.
Moved by Terry Juergens.
Second.
Seconded by Hill.
Matt.
Discussion? Yes.
Just so everybody vaguely knows, this section of road is basically on the Wymore, or Highway 77, when the where it curves goes east to Wymore, is basically a half mile straight west of there. On that road down in there, kind of hard to explain where it's at, but the Wymore curve, if you would go just straight directly a half mile west, is where the location of this road's at. So it's a minimum maintenance road, been closed for basically years. So,
as far as a place, date, and time, be May 14th, 9:45. And the public hearing will take place here at our meeting. Agreeable to that?
Yep. Okay.
Further questions or discussion? Seeing none, we have a motion and a second. Vote 7-0 to approve setting the date for the public hearing. Next is approve or disapprove resolution directing the highway superintendent to conduct a road study on 2nd Street in the village of Holmesville, Nebraska, from East Linden Road going south to East Linden Drive in Section 29, Township 3 North, Range 7 East. Need a motion to approve or disapprove?
I make a motion to approve.
Moved by Juergens. 14-10.
Second.
Seconded by Hill. Discussion? Gentlemen, want to bounce that around?
Well, we discussed it in committee, and Galen didn't think it cost a lot to do the study, and Galen has had traffic counters out there, and indicated that the traffic counters also keep track of the mileage or the speed, and some of the speed is excessive at times, and there were some quite excessive during the nighttime frame of the night.
Because that's a county street that runs through there.
Right.
Though they're unincorporated, we're responsible for the street. So.
Okay, it's in the town of Holmesville, actually, is where it's located, that main street in Holmesville.
And there are, what do we, how many are there? Three unincorporated, incorporated villages that have a county street running through them. So we may get, is that right, Galen? Is it three? Is that what we came up with?
Yeah, three.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, vote. 7-0 to approve. Directing Galen to do the roads study. Presentation of the Engage Quarterly Report.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Pat Radigan with the Engage First Quarter Quarterly Report. By now, you're probably all aware that we've hired a new executive director. Glennis McClure has accepted the Engage Executive Director position. She will begin her duties officially on Monday, April 21st. We had a total of 29 applicants for the Engage Executive Director position. The interview process that we went through was very methodical and very thorough. The final candidates were required to give both a written and oral presentation. That was extremely helpful because what that allowed us to do was to see how a person would be able to communicate and act in an actual situation. So that gave us a lot of insight into our candidates. They were also interviewed by a group of community partners. So not only was the Engage board involved, but we also had people from the community involved so we could get a wider perspective of the candidates, their strengths, and help us to make a decision on who to hire for that position. Total of three interviews were conducted with these candidates as they were narrowed down. So it was quite an extensive process. All activity for the first quarter of 2014 was completed by the Engage Board of Directors. The major objective for the first quarter was to hire an executive director, which we've accomplished. The temporary Engage assistant left the organization on February 24th, so we've had no employees of Engage from February 24th through the first quarter of the year. We continue to focus on seven strategic activities, number one being increasing the opportunity through education and workforce development, develop a comprehensive program that will develop the skills of the existing future workforce. As part of that, Engage has partnered with the Nebraska Department of Economic Development, the Beatrice Area Chamber of Commerce, Main Street, and Southeast Community College by hosting a lunch and learn event at SCC on April 4th regarding the Internet NE program, which is a great program for companies to be able to hire interns that have a specific specialty in their area, and the state helps with some of that funding. Number two, design an economic development organization structure and procedures based on teamwork and involvement of all communities and organizations in Gage County, resulting in a consensus countywide development strategy combined with a focus on supporting local and regional development priorities. We continue to develop that and work closely with several economic development organizations. One of those is SEND, which is Southeast Development District, Dave Talladay and Kevin Burneson. Phil Michaels, also with the Nebraska Department of Economic Development. Cheryl Brandenburg with Black Hills Energy. She's kind of in charge of their economic development of their organization. And Keith Ellis with NPPD. So we continue to reach out and develop working relationships with these organizations. They've been a tremendous help during this transition process with Engage. They have been very available, and they're a nice asset for us to have available to us. We also are now a member of the Lincoln Area Development Partnership. That group has many marketing events scheduled for 2014. Engage will have the opportunity to participate in the events should we decide to do so. There's an attached list with your information packet that you have to show some of the events that are upcoming. Number three, maintain and enhance efforts to retain and expand existing businesses in Gage County, resulting in increased employment and household incomes in Gage County. We are currently working on about 13 companies that are interested in expanding, relocating to the city that need financial assistance or are starting a new business. Assistance is being provided by Engage Board of Directors, the City of Beatrice, and other community partners. Engage did co-host the Community Matters in Rural America event with Pinnacle Bank on February 20th at Classics. I don't know if anyone, I know some, I recognize some of the faces were there. That was a great event. We had a good speaker. I think it helps to give more further insight into the development or the rural development issues that we face in Gage County. The speaker was Chuck Schroeder, founding director of the University of Nebraska Rural Futures Institute. Glennis, the new executive director, will be working to create and implement an effective business retention and expansion program, which will include but not limited to specified number of business visits each year and a method for collecting, tracking, and storing the information. So one of our focuses is to really concentrate on our existing industries and business, helping to retain them, helping them to expand, while at the same time bringing in new business and industry. And we're going to make sure that we get out and spend time with each one of these businesses because it's important for us to know what we can do to help and we're going to collect the information and track it so that we can make sure that we have some good metrics to be able to measure our successes. We are also working on developing a marketing plan. We do have a very nice website, a Facebook page, and we're also using Twitter. So if you haven't had the opportunity to look at our website, it is a very nice website. We do update that, and now we'll be able to add Glennis's name to the executive director position, which would be nice. Glennis will continue to update our webpage, update the information relating to Gage County on various internet sites, creating a professional template for use in responding to requests for proposals on potential projects, gathering a complete list of available properties and real estate inventory in Gage County. That's something that we're really focusing on, is getting out and making sure that we have a complete listing of all the available properties that are around, empty buildings or available places that are, that people can either move into or expand into, and linking the properties on Engage website and LOIS. Glennis will begin to, will continue to obtain private memberships to support the activities of Engage. Another one of our big focuses is to really get out there and get in some private funds to help the organization, and which will require at some point probably less from the county and city. Focus on small business and entrepreneurial growth and startups in all Gage County communities, resulting in new flexible financing tools, networking amongst entrepreneurs, and increased business startups. Glennis really has a lot of strength in this area, and with her, she brings a vast array of knowledge and resources relating to entrepreneurial growth and business startups. Her previous work experience will be a huge asset in providing needed assistance to businesses in Gage County. Number six, improve the physical appearance of Gage County communities. The Engage Board President and Vice President are actively participating in Beatrice Area Council meetings each Friday to identify ways we can work with other groups to make our communities appear nicer and how we can all do a better job of selling our community. So we look at everybody from Beatrice as kind of a ambassador to your community. So part of this action committee is to get together with some people and discuss things and how we can improve things in Gage County, make things more attractive, and obviously what's the intent of that is to increase our population and grow our community. The group consists of Engage, the Beatrice Chamber of Commerce, Main Street Beatrice, the City of Beatrice, Gage County, Keep Beatrice Beautiful, and other business professionals. We are currently working on the development of new welcome signs for Beatrice. So we are going to have a contest, I believe, that we're working on. And, not a contest.
Submit ideas.
So it's submit ideas on new signs for welcome signs for Beatrice. So I think there are a number of things. I know we're working on a design in our company, and there are several other people that are doing that as well. So that will be forthcoming soon. Continue to support infrastructure and transportation improvements in Gage County. Engage is actively aware of the proposed half-cent sales tax. And I called it half-inch sales tax the other day. I have no idea where that came from. It must have something to do with my position. The sales tax and the Beatrice Highway 136 relocation. Members have participated in several meetings and discussions regarding the future of downtown Beatrice and the needed street upgrades in Beatrice. So there have been a number of community meetings that have been hosted by the Beatrice Chamber, by the city, kind of discussing the pros and cons of the half-cent sales tax and what those funds will be used for. I would like to say on behalf of the Engage Board of Directors, we appreciate the continued support by both the county and the city. It's been a huge help during this transition period as we continue to develop and grow our organization. We did also have our annual membership meeting on March 10th, and we have elected three board members. We're elected to the Engage Board of Directors. The new members include Steve Robinson from Adams, representing the county, Karen Stowes from Odell, representing the county, and Darren Bear from Beatrice, representing the city. We are really looking forward to getting Glennis officially started on the 21st. There's an increased activity and request for information from Engage, so there are a lot of good things happening out there, a lot of positive things, and we think with Engage in this position, we're going to have a very, very successful year. So are there any questions that I can answer for anybody?
I do serve on the action committee representing our county board, and we meet every single Friday for a meeting, but Radigan and I normally make it.
That's right.
And we buy our own lunch. You guys don't even get stuck. So, but they have good meetings. They're good communication. So thank you.
Fun. It's a good way to share ideas and information.
And we have a meeting again tomorrow at 4 o'clock at the Carnegie Building, so right. It's open to the public, so people are welcome to attend.
Yeah,
so
anybody would like to come, we'd welcome you to attend the meeting.
And I've mentioned before, and the amount of time that this board has put in, especially in hiring the new executive director, there was a lot of, just an awful lot of interviews, another extra round more than what we originally planned on, and how many times people attended and all the interviews that they went through. And then in the board meetings we had to try and decide, because it wasn't easy. There was a lot of good candidates, and we had a tough time deciding this time and stuff. And then I also just mentioned quick, the new people. I know Steve was at a couple of the meetings, and Karen was too, when we were choosing our new executive director. They were there to give input and to see what it was like too, so that they're kind of starting to run up to speed right away and stuff. And I think we've got some really good new board members. And the ones that went off, John Holmbeck went off from the county, Chris Jones went off, and both of those basically was a time commitment. They just did not work into their schedules. And the other one Darren's replacing who?
Glennis.
No, Glennis is from the county.
Chris, probably.
Chris is from the city, yes.
Chris Jones.
Chris was from the city, yes. Darren's replacing Chris Jones, yes. Yeah. No, Glennis was from the county, and so was John Holmbeck. And Glennis went off when she applied. Then she resigned or whatever, and then we had to fill her position. And John, too, he leaves the state over the winter, so it just did not work into his schedule and stuff. So.
Exactly.
Lucky guy, yeah.
Goes to a warmer climate.
Yes.
Well, you guys are so good at interviewing. Maybe you could help Lytle on interviewing for a new emergency manager position. Because he how many? 47 applicants?
18.
18?
Evidently, I need to resign. I must not be doing a good enough job.
You are, but you can always use help.
Anything else?
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to make a motion to receive and place on file the Engage quarterly report.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Byers. Vote 7-0 to place report on file. I shuffled my paper and shuffled the agenda right away. All right, discussion of purchase of subscriber units for the statewide radio system. This came out of committee. There was going to be an action item here. Out of finance committee, it's felt that they did not want to have the vote to approve those radios at this point, so we're just going to have a discussion. So we'd like to start first about. Had a good discussion in committee. You want to start, don't you?
Well, I guess the reason we're discussing it this time and not taking action on it is that it was set up that we purchased the radios and then we would find out the lease agreement that and our user fees with the state regarding the Blue Springs Tower and taking that afterwards, and we feel it should be flipped and determine what our lease agreement is prior to purchasing the radios and spending that amount of money.
Gary, you want, or Klaus maybe even wants to come up and talk. I don't know, or whatever. They do have finalized, or not finalized it. I guess they've the proposal for the equipment. They brought that forward to committee, and everybody should have that. And what the sheriff's department would need, what the jail would need, and what the emergency management group would need. And the cost, and they came up with the $454,000 here that they're asking for or proposing for all the equipment that we would need. This does not relate to any of the towers or anything like that or anything with the state per se. This is the Motorola and stuff, but yeah.
And one other thing we looked at after the meeting, and we didn't look at the Register of Deeds, but our lease agreements in regards to the Blue Springs Tower, we own the tower, but the city of Weimar owns the two lots that it sets on. So that will need to be kept into consideration when they go forward with the state.
Doug Klaus, Chief Deputy. Good morning. And after our committee meeting on Monday, I had called Mike Jeffries with the state, kind of brought him up to speed, kind of where things were at and what we were looking at for today as far as any action items. And then we had a frank discussion. I flat out asked him, you know, what his position was, so that we would have a direction so that we could maybe, you know, have some clarification on a couple issues. So what he had, and when I had the conversation, the sheriff was there with, and so somebody else could hear this besides me. So, I just asked him straight up. I said, so if the county would be willing to give you the tower, is that your position that you would take it over? And, he said, well, I think where we're at right now, he said, is if that's what the county is willing to do, and those are the, kind of the discussions we've had up to this point, and kind of alluded to that, he said, but he said the state's position is that we would take, if the county's willing to give us tower, we would take it over. And he said, with that being said, he said that the $30,000 to $50,000 numbers that we have kind of tossed around in some different cost estimates that you have received, he said, I think it's only right that if we're taking over the tower, that we assume those tower costs. So the $30,000 to $50,000 that he's estimated for any remediation or site upgrades, generator, you know, things that those costs would encompass, he said that they would be willing to take those costs over as well. So he said then there's $2,500 is the frequency cost. He said if we're taking the tower over and we're going to do the site upgrades, he goes, we just will pay for that too. So so he's really basically up to this point, if they assume the tower and the costs associated with that, what the county would be responsible for would be the $300,000 amount for the combiner and equipment. And I don't want to speak to things I don't know about, so Tony Casiva from Motorola, he could explain to you what that equipment is, what that entails. And he said probably the next step that we need to do, he said, would be, he said, I've already got the user agreement started, he said. So because we just really need to probably get together. Once he gets the tower report back, he can plug in the numbers of the things that it's going to cost to do that so that he can have that all figured into his side of things. And then he would come back with the agreement, which would have our user fees and all that would all be laid out in there, keeping in mind that if the county does pay for the $300,000 for the combiner, as has been proposed previously, then that would potentially zero out our user fees per month. And if we didn't, of course, then we would have some user fee per month for the 15-year period of the contract. He said, then the next thing we would need to do, he said, and we can kind of get started on this now and then kind of throw all this paperwork to the attorneys and let them kind of go back and forth on it, include all the entities that are necessary, would be the tower transfer and an FAA transfer for the licensing for the tower site and frequencies and things of that nature. So that's what I know. So if it's any questions about the initial subscriber units or anything like that, I would – Doug Ostergaard, he's on his way down here. At first he wasn't going to come down, and then he is going to come down, and I would defer that to Tony. He could probably speak more on specifics as far as the radios and the specifications that are included in each of the subscriber units. So that's kind of what I got, I guess.
Quite frankly, I think at this point we've heard about the equipment probably 10 different times. And as far as Tony discussing the combiner, we've heard that two or three times. At this point, it's all about the contract and the user fees and the state contract. Once we have that in hand, I think everybody on the board feels they'll be able to vote one way or the other. So,
yeah, and I guess, you know, as to what that $300,000 includes, that's up to you. If you want more clarification on that, I guess I couldn't really tell you exactly what a combiner and all that is. It's radio racks and antennas and stuff like that. But so that's where Tony could probably allude to that. But He has indicated to me that he is sure that that cost will not exceed the $300,000. So, you know, if they need to add 10 more feet of wire here and there or a different rack or something, I don't really know what that would be, I guess. But so that's kind of where things are as far as it looks like the county's commitment would be the $300,000 and the state would pay the rest, and then we would buy, the county would pay for the subscriber units for all county users that are on the system.
I think I might have asked a question, but I've forgotten. What are we looking at for life on this equipment?
That would probably be a better question for Tony than me.
Tony, you want to answer?
For the rack equipment or for the radio?
Both.
Come on up, Tony.
Probably both.
Tony Casiba from Motorola.
For the rack equipment or the radios?
Probably both.
Okay, for rack equipment, it is radios as well as electronics. And we have, as we just explained before, that SUA with the state, so it gets upgraded all the time. So it's not just a set-it-and-forget-it equipment anymore where you let it run its life of a computer in 5, 6, 10, 12 years. You replace it. It is constantly being upgraded every few years. So once you install it and it goes through those upgrade processes, theoretically, then you replace those parts and components as needed throughout the SUA, so you don't just have one install, forget it, and then wait for it to die and then replace it. So that the tower sites are like that. Antennas, lines, you know, that's going to be weather variant. I mean, it's very hard to give an answer on that. I mean, typically you look at those as, you know, 20-year items is what you try to get out of those. From the radios themselves that are the mobiles and portables, we typically look at, you know, a 10-year lifespan on those. I start telling people, start thinking about budgeting, you know, after 8 years about when you're going to replace, because the last thing you want to do is in 12 or 15 years, you sit there and they come back and say, we need this now, and then you've done nothing to budget for it. So we always try to start having people put at a certain time frame, start putting money away so that when they do need them, they're able to get that. I've got people that have these radios 15 to 20 years. I've got people that try to recycle these things because of accessories and other things every 10 years, 8 years. It's all across the board. It's going to be how they're treated, how they're used, how they're maintained. But, I mean, they are built to last and do those daily activities.
I appreciate it. Thank you very
much.
I've got a question.
Yes.
Okay, you mentioned the upgrade costs every couple years. What would that?
That's part of the state's SUA.
Okay, so that would not be at a cost to us.
No, that we bill that directly with the state of Nebraska. That is built. We have a contract with the state of Nebraska.
And they wouldn't. They don't come back and bill us, or is that dependent upon our contract with the state?
That is dependent upon your contract with them. That's a piece that I don't manage with them.
And I think that was the, if I can use the word hang up, that was the initial, not the initial, kind of where we were. You know, Doug did everything we asked him, and he gave us down to the penny what were those portables going to cost. And then the further discussion was, well, what's that user agreement look like? Were we putting the cart before the horse? So we've got this end of it now, and I think the discussion is with Mr. Jeffries, get us that agreement. Let's see what that agreement looks like. Let's get that written out. Let's let Roger look at that to be able to go forward, because there may be things in that, our conversations and contract with the state, that would be independent of you all.
Right.
Did you want to touch on how long this pricing is good for? You told me.
I think that, can I see that real quick?
Do you have that pricing in there?
Yeah. Okay. The pricing that is in there is part of our second quarter promotion. So that is actually something that does have a timeline on it. So it does actually have to be, let's see if they showed.
This is the grand. Oh, sorry. This is the sheriff's office cost. This is the jail cost, emergency management cost, and then that's the grand total.
Okay. Did you show discounts? Or they're built into it?
It's built
into it. Okay, it's built into it. Okay. All right. So we do have the discounts, if you saw the early line item versus this, that go into there. And so this is a second quarter, so the equipment has to be received by the end of next month to you all. So it gives you probably around 3-4 weeks to order for that.
And I guess regardless of this discount, we have to have the contract of the user fees and the tower first. I mean,
yeah, and I know that, you know, Mike's working on that to get a copy of that contract. I think once that contract is in place where you can look at that, that's acceptable. That would be the time that I would think that it would be appropriate to look at the subscribers. I understand the concern there. I think that one of the things that's obviously a benefit right now is by having the state take over the tower, that unknown cost for the tower of what's the remediation? Is it 30? Is it 10,000, 30,000, 50,000? By having the state take that over, that takes a big question mark off the plate. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good benefit to why partner with the state with this.
And to answer Kathy's question that she asked before, Mike did. That was one of the items that Mike had discussed before, and said that the state would be. That's their responsibility once they own. Once we get the tower to the place that they take it over, the equipment and everything is their responsibility. The upgrades will be their responsibility, but we'll wait and make sure that that's in the contract. But that was one of the things that Mike said they would take care of. So,
more questions? No. Thank you very much. Thank you again, Doug. We'll proceed and have communication with Mike Jeffries to get that contract tower and the users and stuff like that.
He said this week he was locked in the office all week. He couldn't get out. He had all his people out on projects. So I think he's going to continue to work on it. When he gets that report back, that will give him an idea where he stands on costs, and then he can get the rest of it finished, and we'll make sure that he's got all that information in there for the subscriber costs and things of that nature, and then it would be a matter of some communication with the city of Wymore and the county, and I think that would be a good time to maybe, while we're having that discussion with the city of Wymore and the county, to include any consideration into, I might be getting a little ahead of myself, but if the city of Wymore would want to even donate that land, you know, or whatever, and let the state have all that, that might be something in consideration that they could contribute in consideration of a user fee, possibly towards a monthly user fee, I guess, if they did choose to come on board or be a part of the statewide system too. So at least it's something that needs to be talked about, I think. So,
questions? We'll continue the conversation, inching closer. So we would... In order to take delivery by these items, we probably are looking at doing something by the 14th of May.
Okay.
2-week delivery.
Yeah, that's about right.
There's a Memorial Day in there. Doug will just drive up and get it on Memorial Day, won't you?
I would if that's what it took, yes. I will get a hold of Mike Jeffries so he knows that if we can have something in writing, and then maybe Roger and the state's attorneys, and they can... no pressure, Roger, but then we could have it reviewed by then, so get it back to you so that maybe we could get it on the agenda for that 14th, if that sounds agreeable.
Well, as the information comes in, I would say expedite that out to members as soon as we can get that. So people
absolutely.
So they're looking at it for a couple weeks. And
you bet. We'll have it out there, and so we can make sure we get it to, like, the committee meetings and things in advance and stuff. So.
Okay. Everyone comfortable with that? All right. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yep.
The next agenda item we're going to not take action on or just pull because it is, my gosh, I did that again. The next one would be approve or disapprove how the county is going to fund the communications, but we don't have the total price. There is still conversation about using a portion from inheritance fund and doing some other things, but we can... hold that conversation off unless you want to.
No, well, I think we had a little bit more conversation about it again. I guess basically we can take it all out of inheritance fund, or you can finance part of it and take part of it out of inheritance fund, and then what do you obligate the next so many years of the budget to it and stuff. So, which I don't know, I thought somebody mentioned that at that time you might take it out of inheritance fund in the future years too, but then you'd have a better understanding of where some of our county other things are going at, like Hickory Road and stuff. I know Deb updated us some on Hickory Road that Yeah, that's one thing we forgot to mention. I didn't write that in there because we were talking about Norris Lake. Deb updated us on Hickory Road that Mark has submitted the plan to Norris Electric so that they can plan their schedule here in August about how to update the electric utility lines on Hickory Road. So that is, we are moving ahead on that as that goes. So that will be, you know, in the next year's budget too, and how do we fund some of those things. The design of the road is basically done, and it'll actually move over south just a little bit there, and 8 feet in one part, in part of it, so that we don't have to move near as many electric or utility poles and stuff. So, and you know, we try to keep these things all in the conversation so that it's not, this is the only thing, this is the only thing we're looking at here in the next year. We know we're looking at other projects which you like to do, and how do you fund them? So.
Next, we'll move regarding a discussion of a new member needed for planning and zoning to replace Jeff Frericks. Lisa, if you wanna, she's contacted me a couple times, I think, or has it been Nancy that sent me? I can't remember who that was. But
as most of you know, Jeff has elected not to continue his term. He served for 10-plus years, was an awesome member. So he represented that east part. So we just want you to certainly consider another member. Right now, things have been fairly quiet as far as any hearings have had to be held, but we know we may have some coming up here. And so having a full board is much easier to do that. So, but our board is seven. Jeff served on the variance board also. However, Dave Zimmerman, who serves on our board now as vice chairman, moves over to the variance board. So.
That's and it. I think we advertised in the paper. So if you know, I think that, is it you or does Jeff live in, whose district does Jeff live in?
I think he'd live in mine, actually, I believe.
Somebody to tap over there that you know that would be worthwhile, maybe?
Not sure we have anyone, but we'll look and talk to Jeff about it.
Okay. Good, thank you.
Thank you.
Try to get somebody out of Lytle's district.
Probably have to.
Yeah.
Approve or disapprove addendum to the service agreement with Windstream for internet service. Need a motion to approve or disapprove?
Motion to approve.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion. Who put this on the agenda?
Yeah.
Did you do that?
I did that.
What is this?
Well, I talked to the Building and Grounds Committee here a while back, and at the time, Dave and I visited with Holly Messinger from Windstream to see what it would cost to add the internet directly in for the courthouse and the outlying areas. She got back with some prices, and initially when I talked to the Building and Grounds, it was going to increase our bill $130 a month, and that would cover everybody. Well, since that time, I visited with her, and I asked her about bundling, because I know Windstream does some bundling, and we initially talked about 20 meg up and 20 meg down, which is your upload or download speed. We can go to a 30 meg now, and it will only increase our bill $80 a month. If we want to go to 40 meg, that would increase it $177. Visiting with Dave, it's already kind of convoluted on who to call when we have issues. So with the bundling aspect, I think, and Dave, you can chime in as far as...
Who's our internet provider now?
Diode. Well, Diode's on the roof, and they provide that service to us currently, and they would still stay as a backup. But we're having issues with people are being dropped off. It's slowed down considerably. I don't know what. In the last few months, we've had a lot of issues with individuals. So,
well, I would just note that there's been a lot of places around town in Lincoln that have had slowdowns. Because I know the schools had some issues. I'm not sure about the hospital, but I know even up in Lincoln. So I don't know what's going on. Must be time to negotiate rates or something.
We've watched this getting worse, and so that's the reason we said we need to do Windstream. We need to move in this direction. And
we can be guaranteed this. The 40 is the highest that we can go over the copper wire that we've got coming in. If we need to jump to 50 meg, if the power or the speed, you know, is required down the road, we'd have to go to fiber. They pay for everything, correct, Dave?
What right. I understand.
They pay for everything coming in to our data room and hook us up. So, and if we find that the 30 meg is not sufficient, we're not locked in. We just do a new addendum. We can upgrade our speed. There's not a problem with upgrading the speed. So I guess I kind of thought if we want to go with the 30 meg, give it a try, see if that's only $80 instead of the 130 we were originally told, see how that speed works for everybody. We may still have issues with our outlying areas, but from talking to MIPS, 20, they're not sure would be enough because if each area is pulling 5 megs, you're still fighting over, depending on who's on at the same time. They think that this will boost the speed for some of those areas. We still may need to do something because I know the Veterans Office has complained a lot. Everything they do is online, and they've been dropped several times in the process of doing applications and things like that. So in talking to MIPS, they looked at our speed here, too. They felt 30 was a good place to start to see where we're going to be at with our use. Windstream has a portal they'll set up for us so we can monitor on our peak times to see where we're at. So that was kind of a suggestion.
All the providers are advertising that 30 is the magic number, and so I would think that this would be something we'd start with. And we can upgrade if we wish. If it doesn't work, we aren't obligated. So,
are there applications that are being run in the background that are slowing stuff down? If someone opens up a website and they open up another to, you know, there is there.
What we've heard.
Internet radio people are listening. I mean, I don't know what's eating up
well,
the bandwidth.
They did tell me that, like, with your radio usage or if they're streaming, like legislature, you know, things like that, that will all pull a lot more. And it can be at any given time,
right,
any given day, where we've got up and down on speeds.
I wouldn't have any problem if it wasn't for the legislature, but, you know, we have issues there.
And their aides.
Currently are.
And their aides.
Yeah, their aides. Yeah. Well,
currently
we know who the real
downloads
senator is.
For our video system here, takes them all night long to download. I have talked to Diode, and they think that everything appears to be working okay. There's not a problem on their end. So I don't know. We're kind of left as we don't.
It must be just the usage. And they say over time, as more customers have gone on, I think that might be part of the problem that has slowed it down. And I was also going to add that we would still keep Diode here. I know emergency management always used Diode as their own internet service, so we would still keep that. So if somebody would choose to still stay with Diode, they could.
What speed are we supposed to be at now?
Well, we're not 100% sure because it depends on when you tap into it as to what speed it's pulling. Right now, yesterday when I talked to MIPS, he looked in and it looked like some of us were only pulling 5. So that's why they felt that if we went to the 30, if you go 20 and you divide it out, we've got the highway department, the veterans, and we've got also probation on it. If they start pulling 5, that still leaves only 5 for us. So we don't know what we have.
I think this comes back to one of the issues we've had in the past, and the fact of the matter is that none of us here are experts on IT. I think we need to have somebody on staff, at least at a part-time scale, to work on IT stuff. I personally don't feel comfortable moving forward with any of this until we have somebody with an IT background come in and look at it and make a recommendation. I realize MIPS has looked at it and said this or that, or Windstream has told us this or that, but I just don't feel real comfortable personally moving forward with anything unless we have somebody with an IT background look at it. Coincidentally, I have had a small discussion with Tobias about possible cooperation with the city. I don't know if there's something that's possible there or not, but I do know that they have a couple of good IT guys on staff that might be willing to help us out. So it's a discussion that I think we need to look at having.
Talking to Holly, she said the service agreement, it would be the auto renewal instead of
the 5-year that they normally have would just be for 1 year. So if we decide to end the term, we could terminate the agreement and send a written notice 30 days prior to the term. This also will add a 6 meg Wi-Fi in here for us. So, and MIPS does do our IT stuff as far as, so that was the best that I could do as far as have them go into our system and look, because we have issues with our election system being dropped. So that's kind of where we're at.
Here's a good point, because some of us don't use MIPS. Some of the elected officials' offices. And we have a different security system that ours runs through. And I don't even pretend that's as much as I know. And I would just, you know, whenever it comes to this stuff, I looked at this contract, you know, as far as the contract itself. Now, it does call for a 6 or 5 year deal. So, yeah, what people promise orally, and I'm not saying anything about Holly, but we have to tweak that. But I think before you go down this road, and no fault against Windstream or Diode or anybody else, but it just seems when we get advice from people that are selling this stuff, I mean, they're marketers. Let's not kid ourselves. I would like to see somebody come in and at least sort through what we got at this place, and the sheriff's office and the road department. I don't know if anybody actually understands it. No difference to Mr. Jones. Everything.
Yeah. I do not know.
I did send the agreement to MIPS to have them look at the internet, what they were talking, because I don't understand their lingo either. And so he was familiar with what they were saying and what they were.
Well, part of the problem is just the formation of county government is state law allows each office and elected officials to operate independently. So in theory, all these proprietary systems, if you will, have been set up by elected officials who want to operate that way. And the only reason we all get along is because we choose to. Do go by the same thing. So
I didn't
try to pull all these together. I don't disagree. But I know we talked about that a couple years ago. We were looking at a $50,000 to $70,000 employee addition to do that. And it just didn't seem to get any traction a couple years ago. But that thing continues to hang out there.
Could we have, like, is it Blackburn? Does he do independent work? Does he come in? Could we have someone like that? Could we contact
call
him?
Call somebody, yeah.
I'd be willing.
Have somebody come in. Okay, Dave, we'll work on that.
Can you continue to operate under our current speed system that we have? Is that?
Just have to get along, yeah.
Okay.
But I guess how much time is being lost? I mean, we are talking $80 a month, but, you know, if a veteran's application is getting dropped in the middle of the process, you know, and requires them to go back in, that's kind of frustrating on both ends, the applicant and the employee.
Same as happening with our election system where we were trying to pull up. So, yeah.
I mean, I agree as far as IT knowledge on the board. I mean, it ain't coming for me.
Well, and you know, again, at the risk of just being skeptical, we do lock down applications so that we're not eating up bandwidth on non-county related internet activities, are we?
Right. It's locked. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think any of us, I don't think Gary or myself, want to jeopardize anything as far as we're doing or any of the offices by waiting, by getting an independent opinion. I mean, if we're jeopardizing anything, then I'd say we just need to go ahead and move to the 30. But if that's a one-year contract, I'm a little skeptical until we can actually get more information on what we should do. But will we be okay to just ride with what we're doing at this point? And
I guess, yeah. We've been getting along. We've just been struggling.
It's been tough, yeah. But I know it has.
It's just gotten worse, and I don't know why.
Well, let's try to ride then a little bit and see if we can get them in here and do some analysis.
So I've got a motion and a second. If those can be withdrawn, we'll take no action.
I'll withdraw my motion.
Draw my second.
We'll take no action. We'll continue to look at this. Do you want to keep this in building and grounds? Do you want to?
So, yeah.
Or Don, do you want to contact?
Or who? Yeah, who's going to?
Don, you want to do it since you can arrange time. I'll work with Don if I need to do that.
Okay.
Maybe there's somebody to get in to come look at it. Maybe it's all Dave's fault.
Possibly could be.
No question.
It's that new flooring you put up on the fifth floor.
Yeah.
Slowing it down.
That's what that cable was.
Doggone it anyway.
All right. What comic relief never hurts.
All right.
Approve or disapprove current board committee process?
Move to approve.
Move to approve.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. This would be maintaining the change that we made in our committees where we meet, or going back to the way that we used to do that. Of course, state law recently is, in Karpachek had a bill that'll change the quorum for county boards. It used to be 2/3, which in our case would be, I think, was 4.62. So, you know, we were never doing anything outside of state law before, but state law will dictate that four, or a majority of the board members creates a quorum. So if you have four, then you can only have three in the room at a time. So if we want to go back to the old system, the committees that are there, that's all the folks that are there. Then any additional conversation will have to be made during a public meeting, or we can continue in the temporary format we tried four times, and we can continue to do that.
I'd just like to say that I think that the new system isn't all that new. It's basically the same thing, except that it allows some of the rest of us board members who are not on that specific committee to be able to sit in on the committee meetings and know what's going on. I think that with the new law coming into effect, where it'll limit us to three on a committee, I think that this is a really good system, and it's not that big of a change, except that we're meeting down here instead of upstairs, and we are all allowed to sit in on it.
I'll just make one. Oh, go ahead.
I'm going to vote for the new system. The only drawback that I see to it, we've lost some of the closeness that we had before when we were up in the other room. I think we've lost some of the willingness of some people to come and talk to three people, four people, whatever it is, where if they know they're being videoed and recorded, you've lost some communication there, I believe. That's the only thing, the drawback that I see of it.
And I think it should be noted, in every meeting that I've been to over that four-week period, we haven't had one member of the public attend any of those meetings, not one member.
Absolutely correct. And in the other system where we had a little more intimate environment up there, with only the old system, if you will, periodically we would have people from the public come. Now, again, we can continue that, but it has to be three. You can't have four, where before you couldn't have five, you could only have four. But Danny's spot on, exactly correct. There has been zero people from the public. But the benefit really was to prevent the quorum situation because we were having four people come in here. So, and it's not that the chairman or a couple board members can't meet with people in the public independently. That process can still take place. But if we're going to have those committee meetings and have more than four, then we, by state law, you have to have published the meeting, and if you're going to have a quorum, then Dawn or somebody from her office has to be here to take minutes. Yes?
I correct me if I'm wrong. At the committee meetings, we are not being videoed. We're being audio-taped.
Correct.
And in the old committee meetings, we were being audio-taped, but just not by us, by the newspaper. So we're still being, we were
free of charge.
Being recorded free of charge. Anyway, so...
But Danny's right. There was. I don't think there were any. So,
but I can't. To be honest, I can't remember in the 3+ years that I've been here anybody ever showing up to any of the meetings, whether they were up there or down here. Either way, so I mean.
Well, we had some that attended the committee meetings, but it was something special that was going on.
Yeah.
Certainly, when we were talking some of the law enforcement issues, you know, there was a number of people attend and. When we were talking Hickory Road, there was a number of people that attended that for Road and Bridge. And
I think as you have those events, you'll have that here, too.
Yeah.
And in this different format that we've been using, there's still the opportunity to go into closed session to discuss the things that are appropriate and they're outlined in the Open Meetings Act, you know, personnel, security, negotiations, real estate, those types of things. We can still do that.
And we could meet upstairs on the fourth floor.
Yeah, and we can meet on the fourth floor, too.
We don't have to meet.
It doesn't have to be here. It just has to... Chairs aren't as comfortable, but...
Now I have to disagree with that.
Discussion, comments? All right, we have a motion and a second. So we would be continuing the process that we're using now with an affirmative vote and a disapproval vote as means that you're against that.
and wanting to go back to the old system. Vote. 7-0 in favor of staying with what we're currently doing.
Can I use that for depositions?
What's that?
Can I use the fourth floor for depositions?
Now he wants the room.
I didn't have anything to do with the vote. I just want for depositions.
Do you need a new office? Is it big enough?
Just depositions. That's all I need.
I was going to make a comment. They'll be lining up to get that room up there. Yeah,
I made the first room.
Maybe keep the door locked.
Okay. Maybe we should auction it.
Highest bidder.
Any more? We'll go back. Any more comments from the public? I know we went through that early in the agenda. Any questions, comments about that? No. All right. So then, what we'll do? Does anyone need Meyer? Do you need a break?
Yes.
Okay, we'll take a break, and then we will come back, and we're going to adjourn to closed session. So we'll wait until Myron gets back. But we'll just stand adjourned until Myron gets back. We'll take a point of privilege from Myron at 10 o'clock.
I'm going to turn it back on.
Yep.
Okay, back.
Panel 7, let's reconvene the Board of Supervisors. I need a motion to go into closed session.
So moved.
Moved by Kathy.
I will pull it out from under you, I promise.
Moved by Kathy to go to closed session.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. And this is for the protection of the public interest or the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual. We're going to be talking personnel. So vote 7-0. We're in closed session. Shut everything down.
Take a witness.
Need a motion to come out of closed session at 11:17?
So moved.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Vote 7-0 out of closed session. All right, anything else for the board? Anything else? We'll stand adjourned 11:17.